Good evening.
Good evening.
God's been good to us today, hasn't he?
Yes.
By God's help, we're going to talk on the subject of neglect tonight.
Yes.
Neglect. And we need the Lord tonight as much as we've ever needed him.
Amen.
Let's ask his blessings. Join us in prayer. Our great and mighty God, we stand in thy holy presence at this hour. O Lord God, we thank you for your mercies unto us. Those days, weeks, and years when we were neglecting our soul, you extended your mercy. Your love was stretched out over us. You covered us with your love. Lord, we thank you for that tonight, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would bless us as we give out the word of God tonight, Lord, that hearts and minds and spirits would be open to God and to the dealings of the Holy Ghost. And we need the aid of the Holy Spirit here tonight. And Lord, may this not just be a cut and dry and dull service and message, Lord, but may the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord, be in it. And may the blessings of God come down. Oh, how we need your presence, Lord. Grace us now that we might have the grace of God as we impart this word, that it might come forth with grace and with love, speaking the truth in love, in soundness and holiness. Lord, challenge hearts tonight to be more dutiful than ever before. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of definition of the word neglect, when something or someone is neglected, there's been a failure in taking proper care.
Yes.
And it can be extremely costly. Take, for an instance, the car. Must have oil to operate properly. And every so often, perhaps, cars might need a quart of oil added. And probably anywhere in Fresno, Walmart, Kmart, auto parts places, you can buy a quart, even of synthetic, for under $5. But if you fail to add that when it's needed, you could run into hundreds of dollars of damage.
Yes, that's so.
Time, labor, different things involved because the vehicle was neglected. When one quart of oil would have kept the problem from developing. But if that is neglected to be added, you can run into some very serious problems and be very, very costly. The spectrum of neglect can be great. It can range from neglect of an automobile all the way, a bed patient who is unable to turn themselves in the bed on their own and they have to depend on someone giving them personal assistance. If that person isn't rotated every so often and lays in a certain position for an indefinite time, they can develop what they call decubitus. The old-fashioned word is bed sore. And that has come from just a matter of neglecting that person. And when a person develops that type of a condition on their body, they have some serious problems.
Yes.
Neglect can go down to the family life.
Yes.
Neglecting children.
Yes.
That's very common in our society.
Yes.
Where children are neglected. They could maybe have big allowance, food, clothing, what people might think is the basic necessities for children. But if that child has not been taught spiritual and moral values, that child is neglected. And as a result, our nation, our society, is reaping the results of child neglect. The neglect to instill into those little children spiritual and moral values. The family altar, is it not becoming extinct?
Yes, that's so.
That time when mother and dad and children would gather together and there would be some Bible reading and then an agreement of prayer.
Yes.
Folks, this is costly. The neglect of instilling those things through the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, it is instructing parents on their parental duty. Very important, the instructions in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, 4th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them occasionally.
Diligently?
I believe you're right, brother. Diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou raisest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. Do you know of many homes that this is practiced in? Where children are sit down and their minds are drawn to spiritual things, and that they have a duty unto God, their Creator, to love the Lord their God with their heart, with their soul, with their mind, with their strength.
Amen.
Folks, this isn't easy done when there's a TV sitting in the living room.
That's true.
Yeah. Don't run me out of Fresno. Is it? See, that's competition.
That's so, yes.
You give child his choice whether he wants to watch a favorite TV program or listen to the Bible being read. What is he going to choose?
The TV says. Yes.
This is robbing. This is robbing our nation of time that is valuable to instill these things and principles into children. And it says to do it, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. How many family units do you know of that has this type of a relationship? It's been neglected, isn't it?
Amen.
And family worship has been phased out a lot of places, perhaps.
That's true.
But folks, it is a costly neglect. And our nation is reaping the results. Children are... Well, Connie was talking to me, Connie Montgomery. She's involved in care of children, and of course some of the children that she has care of is dope. Their parents have been on dope and probably all kinds of different types of problems, but some of the things that she was relating to me today. You know, it could be pretty bleak looking for our nation, couldn't it? Children at young ages. Children at young ages used to be tender towards Jesus.
Yes.
But now these things that were so vital and important to have instilled in the hearts of the children have been left out. They've been neglected. Who has a solution to our nation's problems? May God bless us tonight.
Yes.
That this wouldn't be neglected amongst the saints of God.
Yes.
That they would have those family times of sitting and talking about God.
Yes.
Reading. My dad used to get the Elsie Egermeyer Bible story book. And he'd read us Bible stories. Those were valuable times. These are the things that children need. There's something about sitting on a parent's lap and that parent reading to them out of the Word of God or a Bible story, and that child able to interact. That's valuable. And it's missing. It's vital. It's important. And yet it's missing. The song is the set, and parents are to be examples in showing the child what's important.
That's true. Yes.
You know they are smart,
yeah.
And they can pick up on what mom and dad thinks is really important.
That's true.
If they see mother and dad sacrifice, if they see them go and do for God and God's work, will that have an effect on them? Or if they can see a no-care attitude, if I go to church, I go. If I don't. And you know, children need to have, well, the song says, through the country we would ride.
Yes.
Leave the children at home. Or send the children off to Sunday school by themselves? No. But the children where? And the storm and the rain didn't keep them home.
Amen.
They didn't have to look out or feel, is it raining? Have I got an excuse if it's raining hard enough to stay home? They went right on to church through the storm and the rain just the same. See mom and dad giving to the work of God.
Yes.
Folks, giving isn't an option. It's an obligation and duty.
Amen.
And there's more than one way to give.
Yes.
And people are robbing God. Robbing God. I say God's robbed more often than any bank. Any store? Amen. God's robbed every day. He's been robbed today.
Yes.
I want y'all to love me now.
Amen.
Neglect.
Yes.
Children have been neglected. Well, many neglect their souls. We were involved in an accident in Dallas, Texas some years ago. We were traveling down the, it's either the 75 or 175, we was going to Sister Annabelle Allen's. It was on a Saturday evening. And there was a car, a pickup, and we were this car behind the pickup. It was going this direction. And a car come across our lane, all the way across the other lane, how many day ever that was, and on the opposite side where the traffic was going this way, it went across the lanes, all the way over to the side. Well, there was a lady in this car, and she either stopped or slowed down enough that this pickup truck rammed into her, and we rammed into the pickup. Well, all of us was able to get over to the side of the road over here. Each one of us got over here. And this person in this pickup was very upset. His speech wasn't very kind and gentle, and he was very upset. And he stayed a while, but finally he just got in his, or he was in his pickup probably, he just drove off. Well, that left us the front car, and that left us waiting there. And so the police, we waited and we waited and we waited, but finally they come. And while the police was there, I got to talking with the young lady, and I told her I was a minister. And anyway, the police report was concluded, and I said something to the young lady about going over to Sister Annabelle's. And she agreed to do that. So we went over there, and she called her parents, and she had a child with her. Then before she left that night, I suggested we have prayer. And we did. And she possibly started crying while we had prayer. And we asked her about attending service the next day, and she agreed to do that. So next day come, and well, I didn't know if she was going to keep her word or not, so I decided to call her, and sure enough, she was intending to go, and we were supposed to go by and get her. Well, we went by and got her and took her to service, and the message was given. There was some altar work, and we were with someone at the altar. And down the aisle, somebody walked and knelt down at the altar, and it was that young lady. But in our conversation that Saturday night, she said, "I haven't been putting God number one." And she come down there. Nobody said a word to her. She just, of her own free will, walked down, knelt down, said she wanted to get saved. One of the points I'm trying to make is, if she had been just a few seconds different, that car was coming with enough impact to hit her, and maybe she would have been in eternity.
Yes.
Instead of having the privilege to bow on an altar the next day, she could have been out into eternity.
Yes,
lost forever. She had been neglecting her soul.
Yes.
And she acknowledged, I haven't been putting God number one. Folks, talk about costly prices to pay. If your soul is neglected, that's... Can it get much seriouser than that? We had some contact with her later on. She even invited us to her brother's wedding, and we even went to her brother's wedding. She wrote to me or sent me a letter. I haven't talked or communicated with her for some time, but she had a chance that day, another chance.
Yes.
Yes. Another chance to take care of herself.
Yes.
What she does from now on out is between her and God.
Amen.
But she had been neglecting. You know, it's serious when somebody isn't putting God number one. And you know, you can get lean and neglect your own soul by not taking enough time to pray.
Amen.
Not taking that quality time to pray can bring, and neglecting your soul, it can bring leanness. Being saved is a responsibility that we have to maintain a relationship with God. And if you don't communicate with Him, what's going to happen to your relationship? And just getting down and saying a little, now lay me down to sleep, and while you're down there, you're thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. I got this to do. I wonder what I can cook for supper tonight. And you're saying this little prayer, but your mind's...
Yes.
It means something to shut the door.
Amen.
And to stay there until you make contact with heaven. Mm-hmm. Folks, people's neglecting this.
Yes, Lord.
That's true.
You trace back people's spiritual problems, and a lot of time it's in their prayer life. Not taking time to be holy. Well, I'll get up 15 minutes early and rush through a prayer. Folks, that isn't fair to God. If you take a young man that's interested in a young woman, and they live in different places, that young man might have a hundreds of dollars telephone bill.
Yes.
Why? He wants to communicate. He wants to build and maintain a relationship. See? And it's just more than a little 5-minute talk every 2 or 3 weeks. Or every week. Okay. Neglect in the prayer life is very, very costly.
Yes,
folks, God wants a praying church. He wants us to have a spirit of prayer and not just a 2 or 3 minute thing and up your arm and go through the day. No thoughts of God no more. And come down and just tired and sleepy at night. You give Him a half-hearted prayer.
Yes.
It's not fair to God. And it's not fair to your soul either. May God help us tonight. Neglect. In Proverbs, there's a graphic description of a field that's been neglected.
Yes.
24 and 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Giving a description of a field that is just grown up with thorns, sticky things. But folks, this goes deeper than a field. It goes right to the heart of an individual. That their heart has been so neglected that inside of that heart is just thorns and nettles. A heart that just has thorns in it. In Mark, the 4th chapter, I believe it is, it speaks about a heart with thorns. 4th chapter and 18th verse, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The word of God is good.
Amen.
So there in the heart. But this individual is so caught up with things, and it likens it to thorns. Just covered. The heart's just covered with these thorns. How is this good seed going to prosper? It's choked. It says it was choked. It's good. The seed is good. But the cares of life has just got it choked until there's zero production. Unfruitful. Zero production. If you're too busy to take care of your soul, you're too busy. And people have got so busy that they don't feel like they can take a few hours to come to the house of God.
That's true.
And maybe they kind of feel like I do the Lord a favor if I show up on Sunday mornings.
Yes.
If somebody asked you how many go to church where you go to church, what if you'd asked that person, well, do you meet on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night? See?
Yes.
It should be consistent.
Amen.
There should not be the drop-off.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Is this true?
Amen.
Some people just kind of go to church occasionally. And some people go kind of on special occasions. Some will show up on Easter. Some will show up on Mother's Day. Oh, Mother, she wants me to come to church on Mother's Day. I'll go on Mother's Day. People are neglecting the house of God. But it says so much more as you see the day approaching. We're living in the time now where they're cutting, amen, 10-day meetings to how many? Does that sound like so much more? Serious. People has lost their interest. Something to get them out, even to a week's meeting. And they used to have 3 weeks revivals. Brother James was mentioning today, the third week would be the most successful. What do you think you had, Brother Charles, if you announced we're going to have a meeting every night for a month? You think? A 3 week revival. Cutting them down from 10 days to 5 days.
Yes.
Why? There's a cause.
Yes.
There's a reason. People are neglecting the assembling of the selves together. If there was that stimulant incentive and desire, it'd be different, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That's true. Yes.
It shouldn't be that you have to twist a saint of God's arm to get them to church. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. May God bless us. Many are neglecting the assembling of themselves together, and it's costing. And you know one whose it's costing a lot is their children. Just one generation. We were up to Sister Ruth's daughter and her granddaughter. We said something about prayer, and she thought it was saying something about a pear, and she went and got a piece of fruit. She didn't know what prayer was. One generation. There's a suffering tonight.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Many of the saints' grandchildren don't hardly know what it's all about, folks. This is serious. Neglect is serious tonight.
That's true.
May God help us. This heart was neglected. There was thorns in it, sticky things. It's hard to get close to sticky things, isn't it? Stand back. Some people's hearts so full of thorns that it's hard to penetrate it.
Absolutely.
Amen. It's hard to penetrate it. And the wall is broken down. That is a protection. These 6 feet fence around the outside perimeter is a protection, isn't it?
Yes.
But in this case, the wall was broken down. And the little animals and the little foxes had free access into the vineyard. You know what? When that wall of protection is broken down, the evil spirits. Do you think they just stand back? Well, this person's kind of a slack condition right now. They've been a little neglectful and slack in their prayer life. I'll just back up. I won't try to intrude and force my way in. Does evil spirits do like that? They like a place to get in. They even wanted to get in some hugs. And they destroyed them, didn't they? So these evil spirits out there, when that wall is broken down, they don't stand back. Oh, they might sharpen up on their prayer life. They might get with it. No, those evil spirits are there to prey on it and to take over and to invade it and possess it. Neglect is serious, folks. You know, there'd be a lot more people sitting in these pews tonight if people weren't neglecting.
That's so. Amen.
It's true. It's not because people don't know about the meeting, but they're neglecting.
Yes.
May God help us.
Yes, Lord.
Well, one scripture says, how shall we escape? Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time we should let them slip. When you let something slip, sometimes you're not even aware that it's gone. But it slipped. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Folks, we can't escape if we neglect so great a salvation. We just can't do it. And folks, this is a great salvation. If you don't think it's great, you're in trouble already. This is a great salvation. Do you know if everybody would get a good dose of this great salvation, there'd be no divorce courts?
Yes.
And divorce is still wrong?
Yes, that's right.
And remarrying somebody that is divorced is still wrong?
Yes, true.
If you do, you commit adultery.
Yes.
According to the Word of God, don't err from that truth.
Amen.
May God bless us tonight. This is a great salvation. If this salvation, everybody in Fresno would get a good dose of it, you wouldn't have to lock your door tonight. Amen. If everybody get a good dose of this great salvation, the security business would go out of business. You wouldn't have to have it. The drug dealers, there wouldn't be no drug dealers or no drug users. There would be no prison overcrowding if everybody get a good dose of this great salvation. It'd change the whole structure of our society. It would change it. If everybody would get a good dose of it, it'd change. It has changed. It's changed me. This great salvation. It's changed wicked and vile people. It changed Captain John Newton, an infidel, a wicked man, a cruel man. He was a captain on a ship and he had a leather whip and he'd just split the backs of people open. He was a wicked, cruel man. But he got a good dose. One day, this great salvation through the grace of God appeared to Captain John Newton, and he got a good dose of it.
Amen.
And he wrote a song. Amazing, how sweet a sound that saved a And he knew what he was before he got saved. I was lost. But now I'm found. And I was also blind. Tell me that a great salvation. That you was lost. But now you're found. You were blind. And now I see. It did something to him, this great salvation. And it didn't stop there. He said, was grace that taught my heart. This great salvation is meant to teach us. And grace, it'll release you from fear. A great salvation. Precious. Great salvation. It taught his heart to fear, and then it turned around and taught him how to release the wrong kinds of fear. Taught his heart the right fear and released him from them wrong fears.
Amen.
And it didn't stop there either.
Oh, thank God.
Through many years taught, through the trials and through the test of life, it brought him through. Brought him through. It had already come through a lot of them. His God has saved that far. And he thought that it was going to take him on. great salvation. And the benefit of it didn't stop with just being resurrected from death to life or being able to fear God. And it didn't stop even in the victories through the trials and tests, the benefits that he was reaping in life. But it was going to help him in the next world.
Amen.
When we a great salvation that'll take him all the way from this earth to the other side. And he was not going to just be there without doing something. He was going to be able to sing his praise. A great salvation did something great for this man. And I don't think he wrote this, but it's good anyway. Praise God. Do you praise him for this great salvation? Your great salvation. Praise God for it. He deserves praise. At Brother Elwell's funeral, they sang, "Lord, you're worthy to be praised." He's worthy to be praised. Praise God for this great salvation. A great salvation.
Yes.
That's only one person that it so drastically changed. In the edition of the Faith and Victory in September 1992, the individual wrote about a deliverance. This person wasn't raised in a family where there was Church of God members. And they had a soul that was longing for joy and love. They couldn't find it in the clubs, the dancing, and the lifestyle that they were involved in. So one day this individual prayed and asked God to show him the true way. And it wasn't long after that, it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This individual was on the way to a store, and a dear old saint stopped her and talked to her and gave her some tracts. Told her to think about where she was going to spend eternity. And there was a camp meeting going on. Told her about the services, invited her. This individual went on to the store and come back, and she put the tracks up on the TV. Her sister called, and her and her boyfriend was coming over to get this lady, and they had got some what they call good cocaine, but I don't think there's any good cocaine. So they picked her and her little girl up, and they take her over to their place, and they wanted a party, and she didn't know how to handle this cocaine, but they showed her, and she got too much of it. And she started crying. They turned up the music. They was wanting a party, and she was feeling bad and didn't like the feeling that she had. They ended up taking her home. And she prayed again. And she told the Lord something like she wouldn't take that again. She wouldn't take any more of that. And she asked him to help her to come down.
Yes.
So she went off to sleep. And when she woke up, the first thing that came to her mind was Sister Jordan and those tracks.
Yes.
And she got up and read those tracks. And she decided she wanted to be saved.
Yes.
She got dressed, went to the chapel, opened the door, went in, and the simplicity and the holiness, it just did something to her. And the songs were so searching. And the message was just her life, or where she was living. And she thought that maybe this minister had talked to her mother. It was hitting her good.
Yes.
That night, Jesus called after her.
Yes.
And she knelt at the altar. And she got a hold of this great salvation.
Yes.
Sister Belinda Simons resides in Wichita, Kansas. We was there for the revival. And she sang the song, I Mean to Go On and I Mean to Go Through. She hasn't had it all easy. She's had some real difficult times. But she got a taste of this great salvation. And her testimony through song was, I mean to go on. And I mean to go through it.
Yes.
This is a great salvation tonight. Thus not neglect it. If you don't have it, get it. If you got it, hang on.
Yes.
If your grip's getting a little loose, say, Lord, strengthen my grip.
Amen.
I don't want to neglect my never dying soul.
Yes.
May God bless these thoughts.
Amen.
Amen.